The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I believe this will be a bombshell. And I want to take you, I want to share with you something. Now, first of all, I talk about bias by omission. So I will say that I do believe two things. That anybody who knew about this purposely did not really report on it. Because it's too big, too significant, and too detailed to just, if you knew about this, and there were many people in the news, especially in New York, who had to have known about this, and they just, bias by omission, never reported on it. It was reported on it, so I'll give credit to where credit's due. CNN did report on the basics of this, as did Newsweek and some others, but again, buried. I will tell you that for my purposes, this was a little reported situation that happened in a courtroom in New York before a 5-judge panel. And it happened amid what? When we were, it was a late week thing. And it also, because remember Friday, things happen. But I will tell you this as well. It happened as we were talking about major news breaking, major storms as the Hurricane Helene was barreling toward and striking, of course, our 6 southern states, including Florida, which is now again battered by Milton. But let me take you to what is going on here. Prosecutors with the office of Letitia James, remember her? New York Attorney General's office. Whoo! They were put on the hot seat. Let me set it up, Dan, because Dan Borowski is awesome and found all of the actual, Dan is going to bring you into this courtroom. Wait till you hear this. So put on the hot seat while appearing before a panel of judges.
Tish James is back. Look at that.
Yes. This is the New York State Appeals Court reviewing the case against former President Donald J. Trump. Remember, Judge Arthur Engoron back in February slapped Trump with that nearly $500 million penalty in the civil fraud judgment against Trump, as well as the Trump Organization associates. So they were found liable by Judge Engoron amid those allegations. I just want to update you, just to remind you of these alleged misleading lenders, misleading insurance companies to obtain favorable terms. So this all began, remember, with a lawsuit brought by New York Attorney General Letitia James. She's the one, she'd investigated Trump's organization for years and years, spent a lot of time, a lot of taxpayer dollars bringing the lawsuit against him. Finally, in the fall of 2022, okay, Trump, of course, his attorneys, of course, many of you crying foul, calling the lawsuit and nearly $500 million in financial penalties as a form of election interference. So remember, I had told you at the time, I said, I believe that this will be appealed and I believe it will be overturned, because even though we know that in Manhattan, in New York, there are a lot of very biased judges, remember that New York, I wish I had known about this when I interviewed Representative Elise Stefanik, because remember, she's the one who wanted Engoron, as I call him, Judge Engoron, to be censured because of this. So I really am remiss in not asking her about this. But let's move on. So the lawyers did appeal the ruling, of course, to New York's intermediate appellate court. So these judges, this 5 panel of judges, they're not all in cahoots with the far left's judges that we've seen in, unfortunately, D.C. and New York City. And so the appeal attorneys for Trump, they have argued in part the size of these penalties, that this was draconian, and that some of the allegations brought against Trump were outside the state's statute of limitation, meaning they should have never been brought in the first place. So Dan has pulled the audio, and you're going to hear these judges.
It's right? Fascinating. It really is.
So let's start with the first one.
Yeah, because it's right to your point about the it being immense and troubling, the judgment here, and a judge himself, an appellate judge, calling it out as concerning. Take a listen.
The immense penalty in this case is troubling. So how do you tether the amount that was assessed by Supreme Court to the harm that was caused here, where the parties left these transactions happy about how things went down?
Well, disgorgement, Your Honor, looks at taking the gain away from the wrongdoer. And although this is a large number, it's a large number for a couple reasons. One, because there was a lot of fraud. Hmm.
So in this, these are appellate court judges. You're in the courtroom. This is actual courtroom audio. And what's happening is you see these justices really questioning and pressing Letitia James' deputies here in court on the law that Letitia James used to bring the lawsuit in the first place against Trump, stating it hardly seems to justify bringing an action to protect Deutsche Bank against Trump, which is what you have here, talking about sophisticated players in which, you know, asking the question, did anybody lose money? I want to go to this next one where the justice actually interrupts. So here's an attorney. You know, this is a deputy, not just any ordinary attorney. These are deputies representing the state attorney general. And you hear the one of the justices, they become a little frustrated here, actually interrupting.
So I believe it's the deputy solicitor general, Judith Vail. Mm-hmm. So I think that the speaker is. Take a listen.
May it please the court, Judith Vail for the New York Attorney General's office. All of the defendants repeatedly violated.
Ms. Vail, can you identify any previous case in which the attorney general sued under Executive Law 6312 to upset a private business transaction that was between equally sophisticated partners, where the supposed victim had the ability and legal obligation to discover the allegedly misrepresented matters by conducting its own due diligence, where the supposed wrongdoer advised the supposed victim through written disclaimers to conduct its own due diligence and to draw its own conclusions, where the alleged misrepresentation almost entirely concerned inherently subjective valuations of properties and businesses?
Yes.
And where the victim never complained about any fraud in the transaction or losses from it. Because I've gone through the cases which you've cited, and all of them always involved the consumer protection aspect. It involved protection of the market.
Oh, several responses.
And I want to add to his question, and little to no impact on the public marketplace.
Wow.
Well,
that's another
maybe
justice.
I'll take that first, Your
Honor. Yeah. So I am hearing this. I read the court records and I read the transcript. For me, thank you, Dan, for finding the audio, because I have hearing it is so much more powerful, because I'm reading, you know, the court transcript. But the first justice you hear is Justice David Friedman, at which point when I was reading it, I'm going, go, David, go, David. But in truth, these lawyers, are they not asking good questions? And the truth is, Trump's attorneys made similar arguments throughout the entire proceedings during his trial. You know, back in, it was November of 2023, they were arguing there was no basis for him to face penalties because nobody was harmed by this situation, by his financial documents. And his lawyers had argued in court that Trump had never instructed anybody to, quote unquote, inflate his assets value, and that any discrepancies in those financial records, you know, should have been flagged by the outside accountants who helped prepare the statements. And remember, we had talked about this, that many times that they even have in their packet that they have at the end in the little fine print with the asterisk that says, you know, you are required, please do your own homework and your own due diligence, yada, 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 in the fine print, but talking about no victims. And so Vail, you hear her there. She's one of Letitia James' deputies there, and she was arguing on behalf of James' office that the statute used in bringing the suit against Trump actually does not require any proof, and that, you know, these banks like Deutsche Bank, she claims they were harmed by the former president misstating his financial statements. But they go on to look at the evidence, and the Trump team saying, wait a minute. No, they actually testified to the contrary of that. And so that's huge. Let's get to the last clip you have. Is that right?
It's essentially the appeals court judges saying this could be potentially considered a misuse of power by Tish James. Sorry.
To Justice Moulton's point about line drawing, because I do think that is very important in this case. You know the history of this statute. It's passed under then AG Javits and then was really amplified by AG Lefkowitz over the years. And when I went back and read the bill jackets, the common thread was always we need greater power. The AG needs greater powers as the people's lawyer to protect consumers, civil rights, and the environment. And so, again, with that sort of historical backdrop to this law, how do we draw a line or at least put up some guardrails to know when the AG is operating well within her admittedly broad sphere of 6312 and when she is going into an area that wasn't intended for her jurisdiction?
So what is going on here is that the tables are being turned on Letitia James and team here, and that by the end of this proceeding, reportedly, they realized that, in fact, this is historic, that you've never heard of a case such as this being brought, that because it's history-making and because it's potential abuse or misuse of power, would these attorneys themselves or would the AG's office themselves face some kind of sanction? And can you only imagine the embarrassment, the public embarrassment? I suggest, please, justices, if you're hearing me, Game of Thrones. These people, don't make them do everything Game of, but they should walk through the streets of New York. Shame. Or not New York. Let's say shame. Western Pennsylvania. Shame. Butler, Pennsylvania. Walk them through there.
Shame.
Yes. Shame. And
shame.
And Gomorrah on to all
shame.
Of them. Yes. Shame. This is, remember, one of several pending legal matters against Trump, as he is obviously running for re-election for the presidency of the United States of America. He has vowed to take the lawsuit from James all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. But I don't think it's necessary. I think that this 5-judge panel poking holes in this is enough. And we see the truth now. Let me now weave this in. Remember that just what yesterday or the day before, we know that Trump announced that he's going to do this stadium tour across, you know, Pennsylvania, New York. But when is Trump appearing in court at Madison Square Garden? Or excuse me, in.
Well, they could do that. That'd be pretty awesome.
Right. So Madison Square Garden is the 27th. When did this happen? Do you know that what Dan is playing happened in a courtroom on Thursday, September 26th?
What?
Yes.
What?
Thursday, September 26th. When are they expected to issue their decision? Within a month of September 26th, which puts us right in line. So let's say they deliver it the 25th of the, right, or the 20th. Trump knows this is coming, and I believe this will be a... Yes, this is a celebration in New York, in your face. This New York appellate court is expected to issue this decision a month from September 26th. Would it be Friday, September 25th? It lines up right before Election Day, November 5th. This is huge. And then even if they appeal, say, you know, will it be appealed to a higher court? I seriously doubt it. I believe this is the late October bombshell that the Trump team was, that is rumor. Because I kept hearing these rumors. And when I go to these Trump Force 47, sometimes there are biggity bigs and they're like, just wait for it, Dawn. This is huge. And I swear to you, none of them told me. It was my husband, Larry Menti. I have to give him credit. He says, Dawn, did you know they were in court in late September? And I said, no, I did not know this. Obviously, storm coverage. So I started looking up all of the court proceedings. Here we are today. Your thoughts on this?
My thoughts real quick. If yes. This is indeed the late October surprise that you teased here, where they're going to essentially overturn this and call out Tish James as coming after Trump for political reasons, I mean, that has a lot of implications, I would think, on the election for undecided voters who are thinking, hell, we have a party here who has just been proven to be holding a opposing presidential candidate trying to hold him through the law or persecute him, mm-hmm. and it's been proven. That's pretty big stuff. And
it's weaponization of government.
So essentially,
right?
You're saying what's going to be at the Madison Square Garden then is a celebration of an impending decision. You would think, right?
I would think so. And just from multiple justices here, and you hear them chiming in throughout, and just from the way that they're looking at this, they are incredulous. They can't believe, and you hear it, this could be historic, and then turning the tables, and then you hear hubbub, 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 because...
Please support Judith Vail for the New York Attorney General's office. All of the defendants repeatedly violated...
Ms. Vail, can you identify any previous case which the Attorney General sued under Executive Law 6312 to upset a private business transaction?
So this is, the law matters. And this is where the media, the way this was reported, the way that this was carried out in the headlines, I'm going beyond weaponization of government, political persecution, personal persecution. This was darn torture. And will then Trump's file a lawsuit and say, hey, I had to pay all these attorneys. You know what I mean? I think you have a pretty good countersuit to say this was torture, persecution, not prosecution, a misuse. Talk about a misuse of taxpayers' dollars. Oh, my goodness. So back to this developing story. And I also want to say this explains a lot that I know J.D. Vance had put out on social media at some point that, you know, he felt the Supreme Court, and there were others, court watchers, experts, who had said the Supreme Court was leaving a gap in its schedule, because remember, they just started October 7th with their new schedule starting up to deal with, quote, Trump-related challenges this term. And so that a lot of court watchers, former prosecutors, etc. I want to point something out to you, and that is, before I go with something like this, I'm very careful about it. So even though my husband Larry had said there was something in court, did you know about it? And then Larry said, yeah, even I think Elon Musk had retweeted some influencer. So that's where it started for me. And this was last night after David's game. And then I had to make them dinner. They were hungry.
And
you know what I mean? No, don't even. That's
now.
A whole nother thing. I was all upset about that. So by the time I really started looking at it, like 4 o'clock this morning, I'm going, what is this? I'm not going to report on some influence. I don't know who this guy is. I guess, what does he have, 20 million followers, and then Elon Musk?
I told you that beforehand. So his video has that many views.
Well, it's because Elon.
Yeah, his followers are 280,000.
So, but I'm never going to, I'm never going to report something to you based on some guy on TikTok or social media, whatever. And so it wasn't until this morning and in between, you know, before the news and in between, then finally I did find the actual court document and started trying to go through it. And then it wasn't until 9:30 or 9:35, I tell Dan about this. And he says, what do you want to lead with? And I'm thinking, well, if we can, you know, validate this. So then Dan runs in, what, like 5 to 10, literally finds the audio. So awesome job, Dan.
Thank you. I love that you're awesome. Taking them behind the scenes there, because it really ties into everything you do with the Kale Show. And then you take what you're doing there, spurn it off here, and taking people behind the scenes. That's how it's kind of developed with us is, you know, around 9 o'clock, we'll have a quick meeting. We'll talk about what we want to lead with, and then I'll go find some colorful audio to provide you with. And we go from there. It's been fantastic working with you, Dawn.
Well, thank you. I feel... back at you. But I feel like I have to say this too, because to me, this is for me personally, this is a developing story that if I had had this at 8 o'clock, I don't care if Sean Farish was here, like
move out of the way.
Right. At the moment that I had this, I think it's too critical, too important that when something as significant as this is found, you got to just interrupt everything and say it. So in that regard, I feel terrible that I really didn't know this court proceeding happened Thursday, September 26th.
Crazy.
And it's
a testament to the media bias.
Well, that's just it. In my view, so we were dealing with a lot locally, a lot breaking, a lot happening. So and that's what happens, that it's so important. And it's a reminder to me as a personally, I always have to look back. Thursday, something breaks Thursday afternoon, then into Friday. You see what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, they bury it. and you don't find it. This is significant, and we should be talking about this and highlighting it. But you're right, Dan. It is that it's a perfect example of media bias. So with all of that, I will tell you that let's play this. Do we have time to play this? So this is who is he again? I don't even, the old millennial he's called on TikTok, I think. I don't hear you. So this is, let's go to this. This is where Elon Musk had tweeted this out just within the past, I think, just recently.
You know, we should be breaking, actually.
We are. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry about
but
that.
But you heard the core of this, but this is somebody reacting who was,
yeah,
who
I have that
said
for
he
you.
Was in the court. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Saying, hold on. Can you find me one other time in history where the person who took the loan was able to call the bank that they took the loan from, and then that bank showed up and said, we weren't defrauded? And the lawyers spent like 2 hours trying to find one little instance where it happened. But then the judges said, okay, let's try something else. They said, hey, have you ever prosecuted someone for lying about the value of a property when it resulted in the entire loan being paid back with interest? And again, they gave them like 2 hours to try to explain their case, and they still couldn't produce a single case where that had happened. And then the judges said, hey, you know what? We'll give you another shot. They said, have you ever seen an attorney general prosecute a case where there was no damage to the public? There was no damage to the person you said was defrauded, and there was no actual malice committed by the person who took the loan. And then they took another like 6 hours on that one. And by the end of it, the judges were like, so you don't have any instance of that happening. And then by the time they were done, the judges were like,
this is significant.
I don't even know if this is a case that should have been brought. And they said, look, y'all might need to be sanctioned for bringing this case in a malicious manner.
So this is the oldest millennial, and this is the one that Elon Musk had retweeted. Kudos to him as he's witnessing this and puts it in perspective, the timeline that the five panel of justices giving them the opportunity to come back over and over to make their case. And that as well gives it context so you can judge for yourself. Do you believe that how they're going to rule, and could this be the October surprise, vindication, and victory for Donald J. Trump? And how would that then impact maybe right before, a week or so before the November 5th election? Your thoughts, 855-839-1210. I do have a great guest that you want to hear from, local Republican. We'll talk to her coming up. But first, you know what I got to talk about? A little bit of magic. Because when it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic, building a reputation for transforming kitchens with precision and such care. From custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, storage solutions, they get the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on for decades. Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. KitchenMagic.com. Do this. KitchenMagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Tell them Dawn sent you. When we had reached out to Senator Tracy Pinnacook, and you know I've interviewed her before, Republican from our region, we wanted to talk more about a bill offering bonuses for global war on terror veterans. And she's a veteran, and you certainly have heard me interview Senator Pinnacook before. But I'll begin actually with something that's brand new before we get to the veterans issue, and that is combating AI-generated these deep fakes. Yeah, involving minors, which is like sicko. And so this is thanks to our own Tracy Pinnacook. So great to have you here. Thanks for being here this morning again.
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about it. You sponsored this legislation, and as well as other colleagues, and in a bipartisan manner, to combat these deep fake images. And this is really sick what they do, right?
It is truly sick. And I have to tell you, it was bipartisan, and I'm very proud of that. I worked with my colleagues across the aisle, Senator Dillon and Senator Vascola, And I got to tell you, I had no idea when we first started down this artificial intelligence road of what you could do with artificial intelligence. Now I know you can barely tell the difference between a real image and a fake image. So what Senate Bill 1213 does is it makes it illegal to artificially produce child sexual abuse material as well as adult material with a non-consenting adult. And why is this important? Because right now we do not have a law on the books that prohibits this from happening. Technology advances way faster than our legislature, but we were able to get this bill through, and we're hoping the governor will sign it this coming week.
And so, first of all, it's astounding that there is no such law. But, you know, Senator and Tracy, I guess in many ways it's an example of how our legislatures, I mean, here in Pennsylvania, across the nation, and even nationally, you know, federally in Congress, need to look at things like you're looking at and make sure that we have these laws because of the advances in technology.
Absolutely. And actually, artificial intelligence is advancing at such a rate that we're always going to be playing catch up. But the key there is we have to get something on the books. We can always modify it later, but we have to have these protections in place. There was a situation in Lancaster, in the Lancaster County Day School, where a student took the pictures of the tennis team, and he used artificial intelligence to put those faces on mature adult bodies. And for a 13-year-old girl, that's tough when all your classmates have seen an image of you, but it's not really you, but it's still damaging. And it's a tough time to be a teenager, and social media doesn't help, and that definitely doesn't help. So putting some safeguards on this is important. It's an important first step. We're also looking at a labeling bill where anything produced using artificial intelligence would have to be labeled. So if you're reading a book and it's produced by artificial intelligence, the author is artificial intelligence. It's not someone slapping their name on the book. Same with music, same with movies. And then we also have a bill that would look at protecting election integrity by not allowing someone's image or voice to be used and manipulated through artificial intelligence for a misrepresentation advertisement or photograph or comment or speech, because it's important. It could sway an election, and it's just not right.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you have so many committee assignments. We're continuing the conversation with State Senator Tracy Penicuik, who, of course, represents parts of Berks County, Montgomery counties, and you're the chair, actually, of the Communications and Technology Committee, but also Veterans Affairs, Emergency Preparedness, and so many others, Consumer Protections. So you're ambitious. You're working hard, and clearly... which is no stranger.
I do have a lot of committees.
but you're also a United States veteran, and you've served our country, and we want to thank you for your service. And that's why initially, Tracy, that's why we saw this, Dan Borowski and I saw that you were really looking at this bill offering bonuses for global war on terror veterans. Can you take us through that idea? And it got through committee. Has this fully passed, or is it still going through?
It has not.
Okay.
It has gotten through committee. It's been tabled. And what this would do is it would give a $500 bonus to a veteran who served during the period of the global war on terrorism, which is post 9/11 to today, but didn't leave the country or didn't see combat, and then $1,000 to a veteran that served overseas in Iraq, Afghanistan, Djibouti, and some of our other hot spots in the world. It's important because we've done this for other time periods as well. Just a small token of appreciation. The difference, obviously, is, you know, Desert Storm was 6 months. This was 20 years, so it's a very big price tag, and that's where I think we're going to have difficulty. It's very easy to say we support veterans, but when you add the dollar amount to it, people have a tendency to shy away from it. So I think it's a $70 million price tag. to do that. I think that number is a little bit high because you would not be paid for multiple tours of duty. You just get a flat rate. So I think that number might be a little bit high, but we would do a bond issuance for it. But I think it's important at the end of the day to take care of Pennsylvania veterans and to make sure that they're getting every advantage they can as they come back from, you know, Afghanistan and Iraq and they try to reintegrate. And a lot of these veterans are very young, and that's the kind of interesting part. They're 18, 19 when they deployed, and now they're in their 20s or early 30s. So I think it's a nice way to show our appreciation. Pennsylvania's got a strong history of showing appreciation for our veterans, and I just think this is just another period of time, of wartime, that we can show appreciation for those veterans.
I know that you also are somebody who you, one of the committee assignments is emergency preparedness. So as you, is there, I know that we have many from Pennsylvania, from New Jersey, from across our area who've headed to help out with the devastation and those storm victims and the aftermath of hurricanes Helene and Milton. Is there, I just wonder, Senator Pennycook, if you could share with us some of the perspective, because you're not only a veteran, but you also are an expert in emergency preparedness as far as how we here in Pennsylvania help other states and how we prepare for these things. Because I think clearly, you know, a state like Florida is the best example of being prepared for a hurricane. Obviously, there's a lot of experience. We see some southern states who, this is historic, as the first storm that struck, it was weird how it, the way that it came through. And then the flooding and the mudslides and all of that. But just your reaction.
So Pennsylvania, I think, does a great job of being prepared with our PEMA, which is our Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency. I think that's really important. But I think for the southern states, it was so important to lead. If nothing is worth losing your life over, and those that couldn't leave and that stayed behind, and especially in Asheville, North Carolina, I mean, it was just so tragic. And we in Pennsylvania can provide support with our Chinooks and Black Hawk units and dropping, you know, food and water and medicines to those in really rural areas. And I've heard that those areas are now cutting out LZs for helicopters to get in there. I think our federal government was very slow to provide support. And in the interim, Christian groups like Samaritan's Purse stepped up, private helicopter pilots stepped up, a lot of private citizens stepped up, which I think is wonderful. But I think as individuals, we need to have that couple of days of food storage, a big jug of water prepared. And when it gets bad like that, you know, block your doors with sandbags, you know, be prepared. And have batteries for your flashlight. Have those solar rechargers for your phones. And don't take unnecessary risks. Don't go out in the storm. Don't go out in your car. That just puts you at more risk.
Yeah.
But I think Pennsylvania overall does a great job. And we also do a great job of taking care of one another. And we also do a great job of taking care of other states. So we now have helicopter units deployed down, and I think that's so critical. We have assets that we need to deploy to help other states. That's what we should be doing every time there's an emergency.
Yes. I know that when we speak about being prepared and prevention, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month for October. Why in particular is this an important issue for you?
So this is really an important issue for me because I have a family history of breast cancer. My mom, my grandmother, and both of my aunts have had breast cancer. So when Act One came up with the pro tem, Senator Ward, and Devlin Robinson, it makes good sense. We are the number one first of its kind in the nation, first state to say, look, if you are genetically predisposed or have a family history of breast cancer or a few other types of cancer, you are not going to pay for an MRI, advanced MRI. You're not going to pay for an ultrasound. You're not going to pay for genetic testing or genetic counseling because we want to catch breast cancer early. Because the survivability, if you catch it early, you can live a long and fruitful life. That is so important. Yeah. And people say, oh, somebody's got to pay for it. Well, the reality is it's so much cheaper for an insurance company to get it early and nip it in the bud versus going to stage two, three, or four. So for them, it's a win-win to catch this early. So we try to promote Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We've partnered with local YMCAs in my district, mm-hmm. And we have tables of information out on breast cancer. We partnered with the Pennsylvania Breast Cancer Coalition, and self-detection is most important. Do your monthly exam. Get a mammogram every year. If you don't know where to go, get online with the Pennsylvania Breast Cancer Coalition. They will find where you can get a mammogram. If you don't have insurance, they will help you with that. If you don't have a ride, they will help you with that. If you need resources to pay for medications, they will help you with that, and so much more. So we just want everyone to be aware. We want to save a lot of Pennsylvania women's lives by letting them know early detection is key. You can survive breast cancer, and you can go on to live a very long and fruitful life.
Senator Tracy Pinnacook, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I think it's important sometimes, because we talk about national politics, or we talk about what's divisive and the bureaucracy and, you know, everything you've profiled, all of this legislation, everything you're working on is at the state level here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, just shows that there are elected officials who are working together in a bipartisan way and getting things done and doing the job. So we really appreciate you and your military service.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Senator Tracy Pinnacook. Thank you. And by the way, this is all month as far as the Pennsylvania Breast Cancer Coalition that Senator Pinnacook, that she's a part of, kicking this off. So at local YMCAs, I should point out to you, and she mentioned YMCAs. I looked it up. They're in Upper Perkiomen Valley, across Pottstown, Spring Valley. That's the Royersford area, and then Boyertown. And so you can certainly look up her site, look up the sites if you want online information. But if you want to go in person, those in particular are the YMCAs, some of them that you can check in with. They have, so for the entire month, every day, they have volunteers at tables when you come into the Y, giving out all of that information, giving you advice. But it's a huge issue. And I will tell you, my mom, grandmother, and great-grandmother all were breast cancer survivors, and it was due to, even going back in the day, they all, you know, had my gram, actually, she would say, oh, my headlights are crooked. She did have one breast removed, and she was such a hoot about it, but she talked about it, which is unusual. A lot of families going back generations don't talk about this stuff, and that's another piece of it. Just have the conversation. If you had a lumpectomy or somebody did, you know, talk about it through the generations so that they are aware that it runs in your family. And for me, my sister, we always go for those, you know, for those mammograms and the yearly, because it's important. So,
yeah, I just want to say a prayer too for a commenter, Manglemush, youtube.com/@1210WPHD, says his mother has breast cancer. She's having surgery on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
I will say especially locally, these doctors here are so amazing, but even if you go to the surgical stage, they are so skilled now at getting that out. That happened to my mom, actually, and she had survived that. Obviously, with my grandmother, she as well had a breast removed, but she lived, I mean, I think that was like in my gram's maybe her 40s, and she lived till she was nearly 90. So that's the beautiful piece of that. But we'll pray for you. All right, we'll get back to it. We have so much developing, so much breaking. 855-839-1210 if you want to sound off. Be right back. The lead story is to, do you think that case that is now up to an appellate panel of judges, an appellate court in New York, do you think that is actually the October surprise that has been rumored? We heard the rumblings. But is that really it? I believe the answer is yes. 855-839-1210. Let's get to, is this Walt in Conshohocken? Hey, Walt.
Hi. Well, yeah, you know what story they're burying? The story that Trump never paid Giuliani the $2 million he owes Giuliani for legal work. And now, because of the Shea Moss case, they're chasing after Giuliani for the money, and now he's got to go to Trump to get that $2 million to pass over to Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. Isn't that great?
Well, I'm looking up a story right now that, Rudy Giuliani himself, I know that his daughter was speaking out, but Giuliani, I think, has a little bit of a different version of that. So even the New York Magazine and some other, I'll give them credit. New York Magazine is covering this within the past day, and they say, well, Trump allegedly owes Giuliani. So, I don't know what the pay scale is or how that looks, because have you paid an attorney before? Are you an attorney, Walt? Are you an attorney?
No,
yes or no?
No, I am not.
Paid an attorney? Have you ever paid an attorney in a case?
Yes.
Okay. So generally speaking, with these attorneys, they have a billing that you pay things in advance. You have retainers, but then it's a situation where you get the billings. And so to say, well, he owed this bill as if it's your grocery bill, you would acknowledge it is a little different. I mean, I'm looking at publications that you might say are left-leaning publications. And I would say
It's not like he has a history of stiffing people, right?
Well, in this case, I will say to you that you're talking about Rudy Giuliani. And so in this case, I'm looking at it, and Giuliani, and I'm just going to, I'm just going to mute him for a second because I didn't interrupt you. I don't interrupt people. I don't do that. And so I'm polite. I'll have the conversation. And so by the way, the legal bill involving Rudy Giuliani, what happens now? Because Giuliani is another one of those Trump associates who in all of these appeals cases, remember Giuliani himself has had, he has said that he was persecuted. He has said that the government has been weaponized against him. So is he due money back? And so for Giuliani, it has been reported. I've reported this, that he had said he was low in cash and that there were unpaid legal fees. So what is that fee? What does that fee schedule look like? I don't have that information. However, I will tell you that the latest news was that Giuliani himself was trying to explain this. Okay. So I would think if somebody, even a friend, if I have in writing that they owe me millions of dollars, I'm going to say, yeah, you got to pay up. That's not what's happening here. And even New York Magazine, which we know is not right leaning, is very careful in the way they're wording this, that allegedly Trump owes him $2 million. So what's up with that? So I'll just go with the wisdom of Rich Zeoli always says, the lawyers always win. Giuliani is going to get paid. He knows he's going to get paid. Okay. So that's where that sits. So, but I will take your call. I always will. Just please, I won't interrupt you. Don't you interrupt me.
I'm still there. I just want to make a comment while you're there, Walt. Just don't misrepresent your point when you call into our screen. We're happy to address this point, even if you just straight up told us you wanted to go to Giuliani. So next time, just please be honest when you call us.
Yeah, because I'll still take it, right? Yeah. I'll always. That's the other shows might not. I will, because that's just it.
Honestly, I can't tell you a show on our station that wouldn't take it.
Okay. Well, I can't speak for everybody. I'm just saying. So now it's 10:55. Do I have to take?
Yeah,
okay.
Our guests, yeah.
So thank you for that.
Am I still on mute?
No, you're not. You're there. I thought you left.
Yeah. Why would anyone in their right mind believe a word that Giuliani says? The only person that lies more than him is Trump.
Are you okay? Are you having a bad Friday? Are you okay?
You're a really bad turd shiner for Trump. I mean, it really is pathetic.
All right, we got to go to our guest.
Yeah.
I would like to
know what? So
turd shiner, I like that.
He literally said turd shiner. We are 9-year-olds. That's what we are.
You're a turd shiner.
You little turd. You pooky pooky turd. Are you? Like, come on, man.
we've been getting a rash of callers that call in misrepresenting their points. And
but
it's so
when
frustrating
you get frustrated, but see, here's the thing. When you get frustrated in an argument and you call somebody a turd shiner, what does that mean? What it means is you're not looking at the facts. what are you doing? Right? You're acting on emotion. You're getting emotional. And I'm just saying, first of all, it's a beautiful Friday. It's a beautiful day. So I hope, Walt and Conchi, if you're still listening, I hope you have a blessed day. I hope you call me back. But be honest with Jimmy and with Dan when you call. I'll still take your call, okay? I love a diversity of opinion. I'm very welcoming. I'm very patient to a fault, as you see. But here's the deal. When somebody, anybody, does this where they lead with emotion, don't take the bait. Because this is what happens. This breaks apart families, quite frankly. I'm not that person, okay? I'm respectful of Walt. Walt's frustrated. There's a lot of frustration. But I'm looking into the Giuliani thing, and I'll look more into it. Now that he asked, I will look into it, okay? And I'll have the answers for you on Monday. But the answer is remain calm, wish somebody a blessed day, and make sure that you make them think about the facts. Because think about all the emotion caused by the Letitia James case. The reason Walt very well may say Trump's a bad guy is because everything nasty Letitia James said. Well, Letitia James, now this is being appealed, all the truths are coming out, and the facts do not back up the case, apparently, that has been brought by Letitia James. So this all matters. I appreciate you, you little cutie pie. I love turd shiners, too, I do. All right, 855-839-1210.
I do appreciate, like, the PG insult. But,
I know.
You know, when all you got left is insults, there's a there's a reason for that.
The best thing, he's that's like a Dana Carvey, you turd shiner.
You lint liquor.
We have a great guest, seriously, a wonderful guest. We're going to talk about small business. We'll talk about all the other stuff, too. But Alfredo Ortiz, CEO of the Job Creators Network. So we got some we just got job numbers, so we'll break it down with a little help from our friend.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.